This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, a new effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation. Zona Plus is the real deal. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. To find out more, go to tryzonanow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman and you'll get a $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662 or tryzonanow.com.
Welcome to another edition of Layla Weighs In. This is my Friday afternoon podcast for many of you, and thank you very much for listening. And I thank everybody who's been sending feedback. I really appreciate it, and of course, I appreciate any and all of your questions that are pertinent to health, wellness, nutrition, as I do in this podcast. So if you want to email your questions, you can email to radioprogram@AOL.com. I want to talk to you about the whole big sodium debate and high blood pressure. High blood pressure, also called hypertension. There's also pre-hypertension. I will get into the basics of hypertension in a minute. What we're finding out, or what we kind of already know, but I'm sharing with you, is that there's a lot of debate. There's a lot of controversy about sodium, who it should be lowered for. Are there at-risk populations? What about those who don't need to restrict sodium? I want to talk to you all about that today. So in looking at this issue of Food and Nutrition magazine, I love this magazine. They talk about food, they talk about science, and they did a really nice coverage of the big sodium debate. So according to critics of low sodium recommendations for the general public, consuming less than 2,500 milligrams of sodium per day may adversely affect blood enzymes, plasma renin activity, sympathetic nerve activity, triglycerides, and insulin resistance in healthy people. So there's a lot of negative associated with lowering sodium for people who should not have a lower sodium. I'm thinking off the top of my head, people with adrenal issues, Addison's disease, even people with mitral valve prolapse, the low sodium recommendation is not a good one. And certainly, there's no mention of those with low blood pressure. People with low blood pressure, you know, who get dizzy when standing up, all the blood is leaving their head. It's called orthostatic hypotension. Those people with low blood pressure should not be afraid of the salt shaker on the table. Feel free to season your food appropriately. So while lowering sodium is beneficial for those who already have high blood pressure, the increasingly conservative sodium recommendations for the public has been contested, and that too little sodium, as I just mentioned, can lead to other health problems. So the first dietary guidelines for Americans in 1980 actually told us to avoid too much sodium. And every time there were new dietary guidelines, it's always included some kind of recommendation on limiting sodium in the diet. Now, the 2015 dietary guidelines for Americans is recommending consuming less than 2,300 milligrams of sodium per day and no more than 1,500 milligrams for individuals with pre-hypertension and hypertension. So you're asking me, well, how do I know how much 23 milligrams of sodium is? It's approximately a teaspoon of salt. A teaspoon of salt. But you know, everybody, listeners, it's not all about the salt shaker or the amount that you season your food. It's the existing sodium in processed foods. And did you know the food with possibly the highest sodium content is sliced bread? Are you surprised? It's not your salted nuts. It's sliced bread. There's plenty of sodium in there, along with other processed foods such as chips. So, the Institute of Medicine agrees that limiting sodium can improve high blood pressure, but that there is insufficient evidence to recommend that the entire population go low sodium, because they're pointing to these adverse health outcomes in some individuals. However, the American Heart Association recommends that everyone consume no more than 1,500 milligrams of sodium per day. And this is not the first time you've heard me say AHA, American Heart, is misguided. That's too low a recommendation for everybody. And again, there's no such thing as one diet fits all. Any one of you who know me knows that I say that, you know, I'm constantly touting that. The other thing American Heart says is, you know, vegetable oils are good for us. They're not. Too many omega-6s. So I don't place a lot of trust in the American Heart Association's recommendations for this reason. So how did these recommendations come about? There has been dietary sodium research, and in the 80s and 1990s, there was a series of studies called the Trials of Hypertension Prevention, or TOHP, the Trials of Hypertension Prevention. And this actually gave the additional data necessary that favors limiting sodium in pre-hypertensive populations. And then in the 2000s, it did find, the research did find a significant correlation between the amount of sodium intake and cardiovascular disease. So, the overall benefits, the researchers concluded then, of reducing sodium to 1,500 to 2,300 milligrams per day in the majority of populations, and that it was consistent with dietary guidelines at the time. But what the data in that research also suggested is that the ratio of sodium to potassium intake has a significant impact on cardiovascular outcomes. You've heard many in the medical profession say it's not about the salt so much, but it's about the lack of potassium in our diets. Where do we get potassium from? A lot of our vegetables and fruits, and I'm going to talk about potassium foods in a few minutes. Now, we want to, the other thing about these, the trials of the hypertension prevention study is that many of the participants already had elevated blood pressure. And when your blood pressure is high, eating less sodium has a profound blood pressure lowering effect. However, when your blood pressure is normal, lowering your sodium has little or no effect on blood pressure at all. So really, these lower sodium recommendations need to be directed towards those with hypertension and prehypertension. Now, when we come into the year 2014, which is where a lot of dietary sodium research was coming to a head, there was a literature review which concluded that there is only very limited evidence that daily sodium intake greater than 3,400 milligrams and less than 2,900 milligrams increase incidence of disease events, cardiovascular disease in particular, in the general population. And they also found that individuals with daily sodium intakes of 2,600 milligrams to 2,600 milligrams to 4,900 milligrams have the lowest cardiovascular risk and mortality risks. So what they're really telling us is that high sodium intake was linked with increased death, risk of death in cardiovascular events when blood pressure is high. But with people with normal blood pressure, when they consumed more than 6,000 milligrams or so, didn't experience any increased risk of death. And additionally, those who consume less than 3,000 milligrams experienced increased risk when blood pressure was normal. That's what we call a U-shaped curve. So when your sodium intake is too low, the beginning of the U is high, meaning there's increased risk for cardiovascular events. But you've got that nice middle area where cardiovascular events are lower. That's the bottom of the U shape. But then when we're increasing sodium even more, that risk goes back up. So the other thing is that the low sodium proponents are still saying that Americans must limit sodium intake, and that given that the majority of American sodium intake is coming from the processed food that I just talked to you about, the bread, the chips, all of that, that this effort should focus on industry-wide interventions. We're talking about big food. But the opposing side, the ones who say we should not limit sodium intake, are saying that for people without elevated blood pressure, there's no benefit to consuming less than 2,500 milligrams of sodium per day, and that it can actually be harmful in some cases, and that to base general guidelines on extrapolations of data is unsound. Now, let's talk about the basics of blood pressure. What is high blood pressure? What is normal blood pressure? According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, normal blood pressure is a systolic pressure, that's the top number, of less than 120 milligrams mercury, and diastolic blood pressure of less than 80, expressed as 120 over 80. High blood pressure, called hypertension, is 140 over 90 or higher, while the pre-hypertension range is 120 to 139 over 80 to 89. So pre-hypertension is 120 over 80 to 139 over 89. That is the pre-hypertension area. Now, what are the statistics? About 70 million American adults, about 29% of American adults, have hypertension, otherwise known as high blood pressure. And nearly one in three American adults has prehypertension. So blood pressure numbers that are higher than normal, but not yet in the high blood pressure range, meaning your doctor's not going to say, hey, you need to go on an ACE inhibitor or beta blocker to control your blood pressure. Did you know that high blood pressure costs the United States $46 billion each year in healthcare-related services, medications, and missed work? And nearly 1,000 deaths each day include high blood pressure as a primary cause, as a contributing cause. And high blood pressure, as we know, increases the risk for heart attack, stroke, chronic heart failure, as well as kidney disease. If you have high blood pressure that is going unchecked, you will, sooner or later, cause damage to your kidneys. You will develop kidney disease. Now, let's talk about the DASH diet. In the meantime, the recommendation is the DASH diet, which is dietary approaches to stop hypertension. That's what DASH is the acronym for. Places emphasis on fruits, vegetables, and keeps sodium around 3,000 milligrams of sodium per day. So very different from the recommendations, right? And the DASH diet has been shown to help lower blood pressure despite the 3,000 milligrams of sodium per day. It's been the most effective dietary intervention for hypertension. And for those with normal blood pressure, practitioners continue to develop individualized eating patterns based on clinical judgment, guideline recommendations, the scientific evidence, all of that. So guess what? The dietary approaches to stop hypertension, the DASH diet, which is can be very carbohydrate heavy and low in fat, because it's high in fruit, vegetables, it's low fat dairy, it's low in meat, it significantly can lower blood pressure, as well as lower cholesterol. But it's lowering low-density lipoprotein, LDL cholesterol, which is desirable, but it's also lowering high-density lipoprotein, our protection, HDL. And that's where a low-fat diet falls short. Well, in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, and this is from February, there was a wonderful study, and this is a randomized control trial. This is, you know, the gold in scientific research. What they did was they compared the regular low-fat DASH diet with a lower carbohydrate, higher fat modification of the DASH diet to see if they replaced all those carbohydrates in the low-fat DASH diet with higher amounts of fat in the diet, what would the result be? It was a smaller study, but it was significant. So there were 36 participants. They completed all the dietary periods and everything. And what they found is that blood pressure was reduced similarly with the regular DASH diet, which is the low-fat DASH diet, and the high-fat DASH diets compared with a control diet. There's always a control diet because they need something to compare all this to. The high-fat DASH diet, however, significantly reduced triglycerides and very low-density lipoprotein, that VLDL number that your doctor keeps talking to you about, as well as your LDL. And it increased, this is the high-fat DASH diet, increased LDL peak particle diameter compared with the DASH diet. Let me translate this for you. This is good news. The high-fat DASH diet increased the peak particle diameter, making the LDL bigger and fluffier and less atherogenic. Bigger and fluffier LDL means less chance of getting caught in the nooks and crannies of your arteries and causing blockage. This is very important. So, HDL, intermediate density lipoproteins, large LDL particles, all of that was impacted. And the high-fat DASH diet lowered blood pressure to the same extent as the DASH diet, but also reduced plasma triglycerides, VLDL concentration, without significantly increasing LDL cholesterol. This was a good thing. Also, a higher fat diet will help to increase HDL. We want higher HDL because HDL is the garbage truck that removes the harmful LDL, the small density anyway, and the VLDL. So, I talked a bit about potassium before, and that many scientific researchers say it's not about the sodium, because even the DASH diet has as much as 3,000 milligrams of sodium per day, which is not necessarily low sodium, right? Because the guidelines recommendations is less than 2,300 milligrams a day. So it's not just about the sodium, it's the potassium. And this is where the DASH diet can be a winner. It's the amount of potassium in the diet. Now, the potassium in certain foods, let's talk about some. You know all about a baked potato having a lot of potassium, as much as 1,600 milligrams. And that's why people with high blood pressure are told to eat baked potatoes. They're told to drink glasses of orange juice. They're told to eat bananas. A medium banana has about 422 milligrams of potassium. But listen, when you're doing a high-fat, lower-carb DASH diet, or for those of you who need to be on a lower-carb diet, you still have excellent potassium sources. Listen, did you know that a cup of cooked Swiss chard has as much as 967 milligrams of potassium? A cup of winter squash, 494. Okay? So there's a lot of potassium to be found in the less starchy vegetables as well as fruits. And this is where we should be paying attention to all that. In addition, by focusing on the food, dark green leafy vegetables like arugula, spinach, chard, they really hit the jackpot because in addition to potassium, They also offer magnesium, flavonoids, nitrates, rich supplies of vitamin C, beta carotene, all kinds of protection. And now, the other thing to remember is sodium, and you've heard me say this before, but it's worth a refresher. Oftentimes, when it comes to high blood pressure, it's not about the sodium, as we're finding out. And sodium restriction works best with those with established hypertension, with established high blood pressure, not those with normal blood pressure. However, those who are insulin resistant, are overweight, are in the pre-diabetic range or the diabetic range, insulin is the hormone that is causing our bodies to retain sodium, even when we're on a lower sodium diet. And that sodium then increases our blood volume because it's attracting water, right? Basic law of diffusion in science. That's what increases our blood pressure. So by implementing a higher fat, lower carbohydrate type of diet, you're taking care of all of it. The sodium, you could worry less about because there's no processed food and high sodium in a diet like that. You're eating more potassium-rich vegetables and fruit, and you're getting all the other nutrients from the various food groups as well. Your amino acids, CoQ10, carnitine from the meat group, all of that. So keep this in mind. It's not all about the sodium, as we're finding out, because a DASH diet is about 3,000 milligrams, which is a little more than the current recommendation. It's a little more about weight loss. It's a little more about taking care of insulin resistance before we start restricting sodium, because sodium is really only the middleman. And on that note, I thank you for joining me once again on another edition of Layla Weighs In on this Intelligent Medicine podcast. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me, but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.